We're going to start the show in a minute. Adults, $25. Seniors, $24. Children are $72. That's right. No credit cards. No credit cards, please.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I don't like to charge for the show, but I have to start. Yeah, I got to make a living somehow. I've got to. I mean, I do get paid for this, yeah, but I need to make more cash. I'm trying to put my dog through college. So it's very important to me, and I have a dental appointment on Thursday, and I can only afford to clean half of my teeth. Not the upper half or the lower half, just the front. So I need extra cash is what I'm talking about. I thought I might want to eat tonight and have, maybe chicken. Can I afford chicken? No, I can't unless you start paying for this show. So I've come up with a fair monetary system. It's not Bitcoin. It's give me money coin. And what happens is no credit cards, only cash, please. That way you don't have to report it. $25 for adults, $24 for seniors, $72 for children, because children really shouldn't be listening anyway. And besides, they're just totally annoying, especially your kids, to be honest with you. Yeah, I know. We were all kids at one point. I don't think I was, though. I don't think I was a kid. I don't remember being one. I really don't. I remember, like, being born, putting on a suit, and going to the office. That's all I remember. Yeah, no, I don't. Did I ever play outside with kids? No, you had to put a coat on or something, or you had to leave the house. I didn't do stuff like that. That was extra. No, so I don't enjoy really kids, so I'm going to charge them more, and that way they'll never be there. That's the way it should be, really. That's what they should do in restaurants. And instead of having kids' menus, you know, kids' menus, that just encourages people to bring their kids. No, that's not what you should be doing. You should discourage children from going to restaurants. They should be at home with a babysitter being spoon-fed like oatmeal or something, or some kind of banana-flavored baby food, not sitting in a restaurant annoying everybody else and screaming and running around. And the only thing you can say is, oh, that's adorable. Look at that child. This child has a lot of energy. Child doesn't have a lot of energy. It has no manners is what it doesn't have. It doesn't have one. So kids' menus, throw them out the door, man. Charge more for children. Welcome to our restaurant. Oh, you have a child. That'll be triple the amount, please. What? I can't afford. Then bring the child home. We'll wait. I mean, they make you do that in a fancy restaurant. You know, if you're not dressed well enough, they actually have like a jacket and tie in the back that you can put on just so we can let you in the restaurant. But yet you bring in a little slobbering child. And that's okay. That's okay. It's not okay. It's not. Wait until your child is old enough, is quiet, is respectful, has a good paying occupation, then bring your child to the restaurant, and not before, and not in a movie theater. I don't care if it's Frozen 2 or Frozen 7 or Frozen 96 or whether it's Star Trek 72. I don't care. Your child shouldn't be sitting there if the child's going to squirm and ruin it for me and run around the theater and make all kinds of stupid noises and like, when can we go home? How about now? How about going home now? All I'm saying is if you have a child, just don't bring it with you. Keep it somewhere else. There should be lockers outside of restaurants and movie theaters where you can put your child while you're eating your dinner or watching a movie. I mean, not a real confining locker. We don't want to get into that border patrol kind of crap that Trump is doing. A really nice locker. That's what I'm talking about. How insensitive can I be? Well, that's why I'm charging so much money for children to listen to this show. Do we have it straight now? Okay, now we continue.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. I really like children. I can't. I just can't. I almost said it with a straight face. I guess I have to respect adults that have a lot of patience with children. I really do, because it's something I can't do. I don't have that kind of patience. I just don't. I really don't. And again, it's not that I dislike children. I think it's a stage in life that you have to go through first. And a lot of the adults, they're not wonderful either. But the children, no. It's something you have to just go through. I'm not into it, man. Let somebody who's into it do that. It's like school teachers. Wow. They're not paid enough at all. They have to deal with children every single day. Unseasoned little flowers. Little midgets running around a classroom, creating havoc. Sure, there's a couple of them that are respectful. Do you know why they're respectful and wonderful children? Because they act like adults. That's how we gauge it. Yeah, we do. We do. When an adult is being stupid, what do we say? You're acting like a child. You're acting like a child. President Trump, you're acting like a child. That's demeaning. That's a demeaning comment. And when an adult acts like a little child. You see, it's used in a derogatory manner. And when we go to a restaurant and we see a child sitting there, God forbid, and the child is just very nice, having a nice conversation, sitting there looking around, not making a peep, not making a sound, just sitting there listening to his or her parents. Well then, what do we say about that child? What a wonderful child. Acting so proper and so wonderfully. I wish that were my child. That's what you say. I wish that were my... That's what you say. I wish my child act like that. You say that. You say that. So you wish it too. A child is acting like an adult. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. Let me tell you something. That's not your child. There was a Seinfeld episode. Seinfeld was a very honest type of comedy situation show. Very, very honest. And where Jerry and Elaine go to an apartment where this couple has just had a little infant baby in a crib in a nursery room. And Jerry and Elaine go in and the parents are just gloating over the child. Say, look at our child. Isn't the child beautiful? What a wonderful child. And they look in the crib. And this is an ugly child. It's a little curled up piece of flesh that moves around without batteries. That's pretty much what the child is. And Jerry makes a face and Elaine makes a face. And then when the adults, the parents say to them, what do you think of our child? Oh, lovely, really cute, lovely child, lovely. That's where you learn how to lie. And that's where lying is okay. Everybody says lying is horrible. Don't teach your children how to lie. They could end up being Trump someday. All right. Lying's bad. But we all lie, and that's where you do it. Nobody looks in a crib at somebody else's little infant and says, oh, Jesus, what the fuck is that? You don't do that. That's what you feel. Now, Ron, I don't feel that, you're probably saying. Every child is a miracle of birth. Yeah, it's a miracle of birth that won't shut the hell up. Now, I really don't dislike children that much. I have children. There's even a grandchild thrown into the mix. I don't know how that happened. And they're wonderful, so yeah. But they're my children. Do you understand? I love my children because they came out of somebody that I know. It's different. But your children, I have no connection to them whatsoever, other than they're making a lot of noise and I have to listen to it. Children also steal the attention. Nobody likes the attention in the room stolen from them. And you don't have to be egotistical. It's just, it's the child. This is my baby. My child's going to college. My child is this. My child is that. My child's going to Israel. My child wouldn't dare go to Israel. My son is a Buddhist monk. My dad is my son. My doctor's a doctor. Now she's a doctor. She's out. They went to the store yesterday. They bought a scarf. It was an incredible scarf. My daughter's got great taste. My daughter's got fancy. My son's got fancy. My son got a new car. My son knows how to drive so well. My son's so good at that. My son's really wonderful. My son's so talented. My son is a man. It's all right, shut up. It's enough. What about your life? Can you say anything about yourself that has any merit or any meaning or any success to it? No, I can't. I have a friend who, I shouldn't really say this, so I will. She's a lovely, lovely person. She's about 30 years old. Lovely, just a lovely, lovely person. When we have conversations, she talks about people and adults and stuff like that. And then in conversation, come to find out, do you have any children? Yes, I do. How many children do you have? 4. You're 30 years old and you have 4 children? Yes. Okay. And may I ask you, have you put on weight or are you pregnant again? Oh, I'm pregnant again. I'm due in 6 months. That'll be number 5. How many children do you think you want? How many am I allowed to have? And I thought, okay, she's a good mother. She's a good person. By the way, she's a single mom. She's a single mom. Yeah, her, I don't know how many husbands she's had, if any. I don't think she's ever been married. Yet she's going on her 5th child, and there are more than one donors involved. They're called fathers, but I don't know how to explain it. I guess I'm a little bit of a man of tradition, and that's not the way it's done anymore. I don't know. But I was taken aback by that, only from the sense you're choosing to be surrounded by children for your entire life. And I felt like saying, you know, for Christmas, I'm going to buy you a 3-pack of condoms. I get you a dozen, but I don't really care that much. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of tell them to wear one of these things. I have another friend. Very nice girl, wonderful. She has kids, that's fine, and everything. And she has a boyfriend. And the boyfriend, I said, does your boyfriend want children someday? And she says, oh no, he can't have children. He's had himself fixed. I don't think that was the term that she used, but he had the operation, the little snippet thing, where he can't have children. I said, why did he do that? Is he an axe murderer and he didn't want his personality to be handed down to his kids? He says, no, it's not that at all. He's a very, very nice man. He just decided that he just doesn't ever want children. He doesn't want any more children? No, he has no children. He's decided he never wants to be a father, to have children. Well, he's a father to your children, though, even though he's not the real father. He acts like, true, Ron. He just doesn't ever want any of his own kids. Okay. Why? So you see, and I think it's just, I mean, my only thought is that you can have sex with women and not have to pay for it. That's all I'm thinking here. There are no complications at all. So maybe, I don't know. I don't know why he did it, and I don't think she knows either. I don't know. Did you ever get the feeling that I don't know what I'm talking about? I look at life as stages, and you're born, you're a screaming, uncontrollable little shit, and then you're a young adult, screaming, controllable young adult, and then you become an adult, and supposedly that's the basis and the bulk of your life. True. I mean, childhood is really like, what, that's like 13, 14, 16 years, and all the rest of it is the adult stuff. So it's just the grooming. You know, I watch birds every once in a while because I would love to fly in one sense. In the other, I think after an hour of flying, I'd say, I've had enough of this. I don't want to fly anymore. So I don't want to be a bird. I think the novelty would wear off really quickly. But birds, they're kind of like how I look at life. It is. It is. It's just how I look at life. You have a bird, and you have another bird, and somehow, and I've never seen birds doing it together, because I think they don't do it out in public a lot. I don't know where they go to have sex, but I think they do. I don't know how that works. I was not in biology, and I don't even know where they teach that. But a bird hatches an egg in the nest. They build a nest. That's like you and me buying a house or renting an apartment. That's the same thing as the nest. It's a place to live. It's a place to have your children, you know? A couple of glasses of wine, and those birds are just going to go crazy. So they build a nest. They with a piece of straw, a twig, it takes them a long time. It's like you having to save up for a house. You have to get pre-approved mortgage-wise a whole bit. So they build a nest, a really nice-looking nest. It looks like a cereal bowl built out of shit. And they build the nest, and then all of a sudden the bird will sit in the nest and will plop out a couple of eggs. That's like you being pregnant as a woman and plopping out a couple of eggs. That's not how it works with you, I know. So the eggs are like, they're sitting in a nest, and the bird protects the eggs like by sitting on them and making sure that just no one's going to hurt those eggs. Goes out, you know, and runs around and comes home and sits on the eggs a little bit more, but it's a very vulnerable time. The eggs hatch and little birds come out of the eggs. Little birds come out and they're tweeting and they're chirping. They are chirping up a storm. They're chirping and chirping and chirping. And as humans, we go, oh, listen to the chirping. Isn't that adorable? It's not adorable. It's freaking annoying. It just doesn't stop. Day and night, little chirping of the birds. They're cute and everything, but they're freaking annoying. You can't sleep. And the mom goes out and gets food for the birds and feeds them mouth-to-mouth feeding. I mean, that is like, that's more than we do. We use a spoon. They do it mouth-to-mouth. Ah, ich. But they feed those birds. They nurture those birds. And they go, dam, 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 dam. And the birds walk around the nest and try to fly, and they fall down like on America's Funniest Home Videos. It's like they're just annoying little things. I never see those mama birds taking the little birds to a restaurant or to the movies. Those little baby birds, they stay in that freaking nest. They don't leave the nest at all until they are able to fly. Until they are able to fly, they do not leave the nest. Do you understand me? Can you hear me? They do not leave the nest. And they're like helicopter birds. They are very protective of the little chirping things, the little chirping babies. They're very protective. But they leave them in the nest. Then someday, magically, the little baby birds, the little chirping birds, they're able to fly. They flap their wings and they discover that they can fly. And as soon as they can, they fly and they leave the nest. And they fly away. And the mama birds, maybe they catch up to them, maybe they don't, but their responsibility is gone. They live to hatch eggs another day. And those little baby birds that fly away someday, they're going to build their own nest while the daddy birds go out and get a job, usually in construction, nest construction. That's what happens. That's the life cycle of the freaking bird. I think that should be exemplary. It's the way we should do it. You stay with your little children until they're able to not walk, fly. Until they're ready to go out into the real world. That's the flying analogy. Until then, don't let your children out of the nest.
You're listening to The Big Show by John Bandan. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Nick J. Miles joins us. He's an automotive expert. He's a TV and radio host, president of the Northwest Automotive Press Association. He knows all there is to know about automobiles. And he joins us now from a very different location. You're not in a studio, I understand. Where are you?
No, I'm actually at the Washington, D.C. Auto Show, which is kind of fun. Get the opportunity to come out and see lots of shiny metal and to see what's new and what the trends are in our nation's capital.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to be coming in here in the next week or so to look at what could be in their driveway this year.
Yes. Now, is this convention, politically motivated? Probably not.
Okay. Hey, who knows? In Washington, D.C., you never know who's watching, who's listening, or who's buying cars. But you'll probably see some of those political names come down on the floor here to shop for their cars.
Probably would. It's interesting. You know, there are auto shows that go on all over the world, and they reveal technology and innovations, and people are like just spellbound by what cars can do these days.
You know, it's not just the cars. I mean, cars are becoming advanced. We're hearing numbers like that. In the next 2 years, there's going to be around 100 new electric vehicles on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also consumers and how they purchase cars. You know, a quarter of consumers are very confident in their car buying mm-hmm. ability, but at least 75% of people who aren't. And that's a stat from a recent survey, which comes from Auto Navigator from Capital One.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing that there's plenty of room for improvement. And when you go out to buy a car, it's not just about buying the vehicle, but it's about finding the right vehicle for you, and it's about how do you finance that.
Yeah. 86%
of people saying that tech improves their search mm-hmm. for a new car, some of that technology, which is great because you can use things like Auto Navigator to find your car and to pre-qualify for your financing nowadays. And that was never the case years gone by.
Right. They're interesting. It's homes and cars. There's not just a price tag and you pay it. I mean, there's haggling that goes on, and there's deals and different ways of getting around prices. Are consumers like becoming uncomfortable or comfortable with the process?
I think, again, 75% of consumers are not very confident
yeah.
in buying cars.
Yeah.
Only a quarter of people going out there feel confident. And I think knowledge is power. You know, the internet now gives you the ability to go out and research your vehicle very well.
Mm.
You can use some systems to see what the sort of price are for your cars. And then you get one of the things is technology improved in the understanding of buying vehicles. 63% saying that technology has improved in the understanding of financing options for their vehicle. I always remind people going into buying a new car is very much like you can imagine a medical student wouldn't be going into their final exam without preparing. And the same way, you should go into your car purchase by preparing, by knowing what you pre-qualify for financing. And there's a lot of very fine print there that needs to be understood by a lot of consumers. First of all, you know, what is your real interest rate? What is the real interest rate that you get? And
uh-huh.
you can find that out with things like Auto Navigator. A lot of times you see advertised rates which are just general rates. What do you qualify for? How much do you qualify for? How much is your car actually worth that you're trading in? All those things you should know before you head to the dealer. And then there's that magical paperwork in the glove box. When was the last time you went through your glove box? So there's masses of papers to find the right ones that you need to take in to trade your current vehicle in. Those are the things you should be doing before you go to buy.
That's a lot of stuff, Nick. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's exciting to do. And then when you start doing it, it's like stress city.
Right. I think I always tell people shopping is the best part of buying a new car. I mean, actually, once you've done it, it's kind of all over. So looking and shopping. Again, there are single visit sites that you can go to get everything done. So if you go to somewhere like Capital One's Auto Navigator, you can Auto Navigator from Capital One, you can find the vehicle you want. Yeah. There's almost 13,000 dealers on that site, nearly 4 million vehicles. You can pre-qualify for financing. You can find the right financing for you. And when you walk into the dealer, he has that car, and you have the financing. It's basically signing the piece of paper and walking out.
Well, it's like buying a house. You pre-qualify, and then your deal has more weight to it.
Absolutely. I mean, they love it. Dealers love it when you come in with this. They absolutely adore it. You walk in the door, you're ready to go with two pieces of paper, the car you want and the financing. It's sign and drive.
It's much easier. Then the salespeople don't have to go in a back room and stand there by themselves and make believe they're talking to their boss.
Right. I mean, that's part of knowing, you know, that's part of understanding how everything works.
Really?
And you should do that before you go. I mean, being able to change when you go into pre-qualify from the financing, you should be able to change every box that suits your lifestyle. How much do I want to pay a month? How much is my total loan going to be? How much is my trade-in worth? All this stuff you can alter at Auto Navigator, and you can find out exactly what you should be doing and the right thing to do. And it's better to know before you go.
Okay. Now, I know that the Capital One is giving this advice out with you. What if you had a financing deal and you find out, well, that's kind of high, and something like Capital One or something has a lower rate? Do people refinance cars? I know they do it with houses. They do it with cars.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times that's part of the game. People don't have the cash a lot of times to walk out and buy a new car. I mean, pre-qualifying and getting finance is how most Americans buy their cars nowadays. And to do that ahead of time is kind of the key. At the same time, you're not bound to anything. You should find what works for you best. It's not about serving another master. It's about serving yourself with exactly what is your best financing. And I would never recommend anybody goes with anything that doesn't work the best for them for any other reason. Find out. I mean, I know what my car payments should be way before I actually drive the car off the lot. And that's one of the things to do. Oh, by the way, I'm not allowed to buy any more cars. I had my hand smacked because I've been buying too many lately. For a car guy, that's really hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's like a real estate agent seeing a beautiful house and saying, I can't do another one.
Yeah, but I'm weak. I'm weak inside, Ron. I'm just weak.
Okay. Well, that's really good to hear, Nick. So what about, there's so many apps that help you with things these days. Are there apps that can help you with this process as well?
Yeah, that's kind of the crux of this. The app from Auto Navigator from Capital One is what I've been using. Here's the cool thing about it, Ron. I don't know if you've ever been like you've parked at an airport or you've parked at the supermarket and you've seen a car that you really like.
Yes.
One of the things this app does is you can take a picture of that car and the app will actually find the car for sale you and tell you how much it is. And if you've already gone into the app and you've pre-qualified for financing, it'll also tell you what your payments are on the car.
Yeah.
This is dangerous for me, by the way.
Yes.
This is super dangerous. And one of the things that's kind of unique about me is I have five dogs, so I'm always looking for a car which can take five dogs. Wow. I'll see something and go, that's perfect for me. And I'm like, stop shopping for cars. We have too many already.
Oh, my God. Well, you're in the perfect business for someone that shops for too many cars.
Right.
You're kind of like enabling yourself really bad. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, if anybody knows cars, it's a guy that has two million of them.
Right.
Okay. All right. So where do we go for more information? As if I didn't know, but I'll let you say it.
Well, there's several ways to get there. Of course, it's Auto Navigator from Capital One. I will tell you that you can download the app if you have an ISO phone, or you could also go onto the website, CapitalOne.com/cars, or if not, just put it into your search go to your search bar and type in Auto Navigator, and you'll see the first two pages of great ways to pre-qualify and find a car.
Okay. Now, what if somebody wanted to follow your expertise personally? Where would they find you?
You can find me. Just use my name. It's Nick, N-I-K-J-M-I-L-E-S. Type that into your search bar, too, and don't judge me.
Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Okay, Nick. Hey, it's great speaking to you.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. This has been fun. Can we do this again tomorrow? I promise I won't do anything like this again. Tomorrow's show will be so much more incredible than this was. No, I hope you had a good time. I really do. That'll be $25, please. Make it a wonderful day. Only you can do that. I wish you peace.